This is Marketplace from American Public Media. I'm Kai Rizdal. Let's take a minute to recap some of the big business stories of the year so far. A company from Dubai tries to take over the management of several American ports and gets smacked down by Congress. General Motors announces a plan to cut its workforce by tens of thousands, blames foreign competition. I could go on, but the program's only half an hour. The point is that Americans have some real issues with globalization. We're not entirely comfortable with our economic ties to the rest of the world. If you think there's anything new about this state of affairs, you ought to listen to Harvard's Jeff Friedan.
Well, we have been here before. The world economy in the decades, even generations before 1914, was extraordinarily integrated. By some standards, more integrated than it is today. Capital moved around the world with great speed and in enormous quantities, by some measures even more enormous than today. Goods moved around the world almost as freely as they do today. And people, of course, moved much more freely. There was a lot more immigration in the decades and generations before 1914 than there is today. And so it was a tremendous shock when, in the space of a few weeks in 1914, it all fell apart.
Why did global capitalism fall apart?
The underlying problem was political. Before 1914, in the late 19th and early 20th century, governments took as their first priority their international economic ties. If global economic conditions required wages to be pushed down, profits to be cut, they would do it. And there was very little opposition. And the reason there was very little opposition is that most of these countries were not democratic or not fully democratic, that labor was not organized, that most businesses were very small family firms. The fundamental change was the rise of modern, organized, democratic societies with big business, labor unions, opposition movements, and democratically responsive politicians. None of those necessarily is a bad thing. In fact, democracy, most would agree, is a good thing. But it impeded the operation of the economic mechanism that had been the principal underpinning of the pre-1914 international economic order.
If you read the international press closely these days, you discover that there is a very distinct rise in a sense of economic nationalism. And I'm thinking now of Europe and China. Does that resonate with you historically?
We shouldn't look at the period, the decades and generations before World War I, as idyllic. There were really serious problems. Among the problems were that the rich countries of the world were being flooded with cheap products from rapidly developing countries that were threatening the livelihood of millions and millions of their residents. In the period before 1914, the cheap products were primarily farm products, and they were coming in from places like the United States and Argentina and Canada and Australia and Brazil. And much of the European farm community was destroyed by global competition in the decades before 1914. It is not coincidental that the principal bases of support for the fascists and the extreme economic nationalists in the 1920s and 30s came from the farm communities and small businessmen who felt they had been very hard hit by global economic trends. So just as in that period there were substantial losers from global economic integration, today there are people who are not benefiting from globalization. And it is, again, not coincidental and certainly not surprising that those who are losing, if you will turn towards economic nationalism as a way of attempting to relieve the pressure that's being put on them.
To paraphrase Winston Churchill here, is it a little bit like democracy, the worst system known to man, except for all the others?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. The alternatives to global economic integration have been tried, and they have been found, in my view, sorely wanting. Whether in the developing world, where many decades of attempts to build self-sufficient developing economies have, I think, largely failed, or in the communist world, or in the interwar period among the advanced industrial countries, where the results of this turn inward were nothing short of disastrous, that means, I think, that we need to try to figure out how the benefits of global economic integration can be realized while some of its threats, some of its problems, some of its tensions can be reduced or dealt with.
Jeff Friedan's a professor of government at Harvard University. His latest book is called Global Capitalism, Its Fall and Rise in the 20th Century. Professor Friedan, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.